And joining Hannah and me for a look at what's making science headlines this week, apart from the fact that it is the 60th anniversary of the discovery of DNA, are Neil Withers, he's from Chemistry World magazine, science journalist Mark Peplow, and Laurie Winkless from the National Physical Laboratory. Hello to all of you. Neil, first up, biofuels. A new report is suggesting that the arguments are not all that compelling.
That's right. There's a report out from Chatham House which suggests that biofuels, which are supposed to be a low-carbon green alternative to the fuels that we dig out of the ground, aren't as good as we thought they are.
Why not?
Unfortunately, there's a number of reasons why not. For a start, they destabilise the food chain because to grow them, you have to use fuels that you would normally use to make crops, and that makes food prices go up and causes food riots in poorer places. And second of all, in order to still maintain the same amount of crops that we use to make food, you end up using fields from rainforests or from other areas of high carbon, and you release all that carbon into the atmosphere, destroy biodiversity, and that completely wipes out the gains you get from using fuel grown.
The present rules across the EU, some other countries as well, the US is one of them, I know South America is one of them, they dictate that 5% of what we're burning at the moment in the form of transport fuels has to be biofuel. That's supposed to be 10% by 2020, isn't it? So there's this very lofty goal of putting a lot of biofuel into what we're burning. Where's it going to come from then, and what's the cost?
It might even be as high as 15% by 2020, so it really is a problem. So this is going to come from a number of places. It's not just food crops that are converted into biofuels. There's also using waste cooking oil or tallow, which is just animal fat. You can convert that into biodiesel, and that's a lot better. But there are still concerns because if you're using those waste oils or animal fat, then the places that those end up being used now, they're going to have to get their oil from somewhere else. So they go to use fossil fuel oils, and it all comes from fossil fuels in the end.
When biofuels were first discussed many years ago, didn't politicians and scientists foresee this happening?
I think they did, but I think one of the reasons why these targets have come into place is partly out of selfishness for the US and for Europe, because it means that they get to subsidise poorer regions of Europe and the US, and that means that they can sort of divert funds to people who are going to vote for them.
Mark?
Are there issues of degree here? Are there some biofuels that are better than others? Brazil's bioethanol that it makes from sugarcane, for example, is often lauded as quite a success.
Yeah, bioethanol in Brazil is certainly probably the best example, because Brazil's a hot country on the tropics. They get a lot of sunshine. They can produce high energy crops, as you say. But unfortunately, the subsidies that American farmers get to produce bioethanol from corn means that the market's fallen out for bioethanol. So they're losing out. And there is a big difference between things like bioethanol from wheat is incredibly bad. I think that's just really, really inefficient. But using waste cooking oil is probably the best one, because the oil's already there and it's been used.
Neil, thank you very much. And we'll also hear more about biofuels in a minute, because we'll hear from Dr. John Love from the University of Exeter, who's actually got a very clever strategy involving bacteria.